Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that we're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. If you can't listen live, you can check out our website and our archives. We have the last 2 years' worth of shows there. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab. If you're listening to us live right now and you want to partake in the chat room, simply click on the link that brings you into the live chat. You just come on in, join in. Anytime we've got anywhere between 50 to 60 people in there you can chat with that are like-minded individuals. I don't necessarily mean they're all stable-minded individuals, but they are like-minded individuals. And you can share your experiences with the paranormal or talk about what your favorite cookies are, because that seems to be a hot topic in the chat room, Tim.
And now that Scotty is in there on a weekly basis, yes. There is now Scotch and Cookies.
Scotch and Cookies. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Good, 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 good.
Different spin.
I also want to mention again, thank you all for the healing and prayers that you've been giving out. You know, if you haven't joined up before, please join Tim and I at MySpace by clicking on our MySpace link. If you go to darknessradio.com, right at the top of the page, it says click here to my MySpace. That'll take you to mine. In my top friends, you'll see Tim and our radio show's link. You can click there to join, and that way have access to, you know, behind-the-scenes information with us as well. And, you know, spend your time talking and getting to know Tim and I. Give us show ideas, whatever you'd like to banter about. We do answer all of our own email. But we do post up from time to time prayer requests and different information people request from us. And we do have a good friend of ours, and for all of you healers out there, I'd ask for your help. A good friend of ours, Sid, from Pasadena Paranormal Research Society, has been dealing with quite a bit. And severe headaches behind his eye. The doctors are a little baffled at this point of what's going on. I guess they've ruled out aneurysm, which is good, but we definitely need as much healing and energy as we possibly can. Sid's a wonderful man. He's a good friend of our show. We love him to death. So if you can focus your energy, his name is Sid Schultz in Pasadena, California, and pour on the love and the support and energy, and that would mean a lot to Tim and I. So thank you very much. And again, remember, our friend Tim here sitting across the board from me took a spill about 2 weeks ago.
You make me sound like an old man.
Well, dude, no. Well, you know, it was icy out here in Minnesota, and he took a fall in the parking lot and hit his head hard on the asphalt. And he's been not the same for the last couple of weeks.
It's taken out of him. That was the night that the Vikings played Washington. That was like the game they had to win in order to get into the playoffs.
So it's your fault?
So as I went down, so did the Vikings.
Wow.
Who knew?
Well, it's good to know you both go down easy.
Hey now.
Whoa, hey. But please give out some prayers and energy and healing for Tim. He certainly needs it. Get him back on his feet and feeling better. I just want to thank again everybody that does chime in and helps us out with that. Our guest this evening is Bobby Sullivan, and if you want, you can reach Bobby at his web address, which is Bobby O. Sullivan, correct? It's B-O-B-B-Y O. Sullivan, SULLIVAN.com. And there's information there about what Bobby does, the classes that he teaches, the talks that he gives, and you can find out how to get in touch with Bobby. I think you can email him right there as well.
Yep.
Bobby answers all of his own email, especially the dirty ones.
Hey now.
So check that out and make that a priority to check out. Or if you can't remember the name of the link right now, just go to our website at darknessradio.com. Go to the show tab. You'll see the picture of Bobby. Just click it. It'll take you right over to his website. We're going to get back into the deal right now. We do have a call rollover from last hour. We have Don from PPRS. Don, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, sweetie? Thanks for calling in.
Okay, how you doing, Dave? And take it easy there, Tim. I had a question dealing with auras.
Okay, sure.
The discussion was of that before. I've studied a lot of stuff and watched some things and saw some testing that they were doing on spirits leaving the body at the time of death, which is bizarre.
Right.
But they did notice a noticeable difference in the weight of the body as soon as the person died. I was wondering if there's been any done with the aura at the time of a person, you know, when they're dying, if possibly there was any change and what happened at the time that they died. I know that's morbid. But
would you like to come and let us hit you over the head and take some photographs of you and we'll see what really happens then, Don? Are you okay with that?
Excuse me?
Wait a minute. I said you should come to one of our events and we'll, you know, try to trank you to near death and see if there's any change in your aura. That way we can find out.
Okay.
We'll take you deep and then bring you back.
That's right.
Okay. Flat line.
That's right.
Okay, I see. Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, sure. What
curious.
Kind of paranormal investigator are you?
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, good. Then we'll take you up.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone that's done that, but I think it would be real fun to try it.
Well, I think it would be interesting just to see what would happen at the time. Like if it changes at all when the person is very near death and possibly when they die, if what happens with the aura? Because that seems to be dealing with the living spirit.
From some of the reading that I've done, I don't know if you're familiar with Edgar Cayce, who was a real famous psychic back in the early part of the 1900s, he told a story about going into an office building and the elevator doors opened up and he could see auras all the time. The elevator doors opened, there was three or four people in there, and he saw no auras on any of the people, and he decided to not get on the elevator, and the elevator door shut, and the elevator crashed, and all the people died.
Oh, my goodness.
So, in some of the work that I've done, I know that the soul actually will leave the body a lot of times before the death experience,
exactly.
And that will take the aura with it. I mean, that aura that you're seeing is really, I believe, it's a reflection of the soul. I mean,
it takes
part
the
of that.
The soul will leave the body.
Yeah.
Well, who's
yeah.
running the ship then?
Well, what happens is our soul, because it is energy, it has the ability to fragment itself. So at nighttime, when you're sleeping, your soul typically is gone. Your soul will cross over to the other side. It will go out and do work. It might go on vacation. It could go to a lot of different places. It can leave part of itself in your body so that if you have to get up and struggle to go take a pee, you know, you could do that. I'm serious.
Pee. Where's my soul?
But I don't know if you've ever woken up and you can't move.
Right.
That's typically what happens when you wake up and your soul is gone.
Wow.
So that does happen.
Okay, yeah, because the study that I saw, it was an older one. It was a black and white footage and whatnot, and they actually had the person weighing them at the time when they were at their death and noticed a noticeable drop in the, you know, the weight of the person, and they feel that the spirit had left right.
Yeah, it was 21 grams, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that the air evacuating the body at that time? I mean, that's what I thought that they've talked about since then. It's the final breath leaving and the gases.
I don't know about the weight part, but I do know I've talked to souls that are in comas. A lot of times someone who's in a coma state, their soul actually is gone quite a bit doing work, you know, preparing to go to the other side, doing all sorts of different stuff, and it comes and it goes. Souls of babies before they're born, they will come and go before they're actually born. Typically a soul doesn't walk into a body until the birth process, unless if the body of the baby needs the soul to go through the process, if it's a difficult birth, that kind of thing.
Don, thanks a lot for calling in. That leads some good questions. Now let's talk about ghost hunting and investigating that you've done. Now you've worked with Echo Bodine.
My background was I started taking classes. I was psychic as a kid. I went to school. I went to college. I played blues guitar. I did all that stuff, and I lost a lot of my abilities. I didn't lose it, but I sort of checked them.
You numbed them?
I numbed them. Yep. Oh, yes. Very well. And after college, got back into the work world. I'm a producer. I did a lot of work in the video and film world, and the calling happened again, and I just I just started opening things back up. I started taking classes. I worked with a few different teachers. I got hooked up with Echo Bodine, who is she's a pretty well-known psychic and author. Became real good friends with her. I sort of became her protege, was her assistant for about 7 or 8 years. Did a lot of ghost work with her and her brother Michael, who was kind of the psychic to a lot of the Hollywood stars, and they both live here in Minnesota. And so I learned my chops from them. I didn't learn about, I didn't get my connection from them. I had that. But what I did learn from them was a lot of techniques and helping spirits release, helping them cross over, does take a lot of technique. And I was able to benefit from their experience of 20 years of doing it and learning how to get them to cross over. And that was a real valuable thing for me to be able to do that.
Now, as a psychic, Bobby, do you actually see spirits or do you just sense them?
Both.
Okay.
There'll be times when I can see them. There'll be times when I use my third eye and I can see them in my mind's eye. There'll be times when I can feel them. I have the gift of clairvoyance and clairsentience, as well as clairgustance, which is psychic smelling. And it just depends on the situation.
All right. Now, do you, when you're with a spirit, if you go into a haunted house with, say, somebody like Echo Bodine or, you know, other sensitives, is it possible Echo could be picking up a spirit you can't picture, visualize, see at all, and you could pick up stuff she can't see?
That has happened, yep.
Okay.
Typically, when we do ghost work, I have a partner, my partner Carrie and I, that we work together. And just like the way Echo did with her brother Michael, it really helps to have two people involved in the mm-hmm. deal. Because you walk into a house, you pick things up, and you don't talk to the other person about it until you're ready to. And you say, what'd you get? And it's like, there's a guy standing over in their corner. Yeah, I saw him. Okay, so it really helps. It helps having someone else that's picking up the same information, and it just really helps verify what you're getting, because a lot of times it could feel like you're making it up or you're just seeing things or whatever, you know. Ego is a real hard thing for psychics.
Right. Do you, when you're experiencing these things, you know, we in the paranormal field, when we go on investigations, we have to stay away from things like mass hysteria. Mm-hmm. Where one person starts getting jumpy and then everybody starts getting freaked out. Does that happen in the psychic world too? Do you ever feel that maybe Echo saying something out loud can influence what you think you're picking up?
I mean, one of the things that I really stay away from in any type of work that I'm doing that way would be any type of fear or hysteria. Because that's the energy that ghosts feed on. They really like that. They love that type of energy and that vibration. So I really work at staying away from that. One of the things that I've had to really get good at, no matter what the situation is going into a place and not emitting any fear. And sometimes that can be tough. But it's part of the program. And the more fear that you give off, kind of the more power you give away of the situation.
Well, you know, that's an important part too to talk about. I mean, dealing with the ghost investigations that you do and that you've been called in on, do you find that a lot of times the families fight quite a bit? There's, you know, issues with a lot of aggression or tension or severe depression in the home. And is that the spirits mucking with us so that they can amp us up to suck off the energy that they need?
Absolutely. That's a real common trait. Also clutter. There are a lot of the houses we go into are very cluttered, and that disorganization is also part of that energy as well. Ghosts have a real keen ability to cause havoc for people. They can cause depression. They can actually attach to people and what I would call is drain their energy or attach one of those cords that we were talking about earlier.
When you say attach a cord, I mean, I'm almost envisioning it's like they've got a an extension cord they're plugging into us so that they can sit there and siphon off us as they need it. Is that pretty much what they're doing?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen.
Okay.
I worked on a gentleman last week doing some healing work. He was suicidal. He was severely depressed. He was a trucker, and I went over to his house, and I got called, went over to his house, went into the house, saw the ghost, and he looked just like a trucker. He had on, and he was wearing very similar clothes,
sure.
You know, that you would see on someone who was doing trucking work. And I talked to him, and it turned out that he was a trucker who was in a accident, and he had attached his energy to my client, Rick, who was a trucker, and he was going out on the road, over the road with him, looking for his truck. Now, Rick, I didn't tell him any of this right away. Rick had also told me that he was experiencing real bad headaches, and I did a healing on him. I pulled out the cord and then crossed the spirit over, and he's like a new guy today. I saw him this week, and you know, he's not depressed. He said his headaches have totally gone away, and you know, it just worked out that way, that he was getting his energy really drained.
So it was just because of that and the attachments. Now, can more than one spirit be plugged into us,
yep,
at any one time?
Yep.
What's the worst you've ever seen when you tap into this?
The worst I've seen was, and a lot of times ghosts will pick on people coming out of recovery or people that are in real bad addictions. And the reason for that is because, one, their energy is low. Two, they open themselves up to spirits coming in. A lot of times when our soul goes through an addiction, our soul or our body chooses to abuse itself, and the soul can't handle that energy. So the soul, like I said, can actually step out, will leave. And when it leaves that space vacant for a spirit for a period of time, a ghost has the ability to step in. So I actually I was called in by another healer and a shaman to help them, and this boy had just come out of recovery. He was 20 years old, and he was speaking in other voices. He was speaking, these voices were telling him to do things, and when I opened up my third eye and looked inside of him, I could see the spirit had actually wrapped its energy all the way around his spine, and he was in full control of this kid's head.
Can it, you know, you've seen the famous movie Heaven Can Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Can that happen? Can a soul be, you know, Bobby, you go maybe before your time. Are you allowed to, you know, or your spirit kind of wandering the earth and somebody gets knocked out of their body? Can you go in and take over and be that person going forward? Have you ever bumped into spirits? I think they call them walk-ins.
They're called walk-ins, yeah. And typically that the walk-in is set up as a soul agreement, okay? So the way that I've seen this happen is, your soul is really tired. You don't want to finish out your contract here. You have an exit point coming up, an inner contract that we make with God or the universe, that we put exit points in. And your soul chooses to go out on this exit point, but another soul needs the body. So they'll make an agreement. You might have a really bad accident. Your body's out of commission but doesn't die, and the other soul leaves and one walks in. Typically, you wake up from your coma or your bad accident. Your personality is completely different. Your likes and dislikes change. All sorts of things can happen, and this goes on. It goes on a lot, and they call that a walk-in. There's a whole organization actually based. They were based here in Minnesota called We International, and it's all people that believe they are walk-ins.
Now, does that happen a lot with people who, you know, are in comas? You know, you said that a lot of those displaced spirits, they're away from the body. During a coma, is that a good time for an opportunist spirit to try to enter a body of, you know, maybe somebody that's, you know, hit the wall? You know, you get into a car accident, you're in that zone between life and death, and there's grandma and mom and sister and ex-girlfriend saying, come on, Bobby, come on over, come to the light. if you're kind of waffling at that point, is that a good entry point for the spirit?
For a walk-in situation, right. It would be. Yeah, that's okay. Usually how it works.
Now, you said that there was an exit point. Are there multiple exit points in our life that we can elect to leave at that point?
Yes. And really? We typically have five or six exit points, the first one being within the first year of life. And I believe, not completely, but I believe that a lot of the SIDS events have to do with souls that have come in here and not been able to deal with the energy and chosen to leave or to go back and work on things and then come back. And so there is an exit point right away.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. But you believe that the young child soul is able to just say, I'm done? And, you know, I didn't mean to really come here. I was trying to get on the, you know, 8 train to Newark, and I ended up in...
Well, from my experience in talking to those souls, and they come into young bodies, but the souls are actually very old or mature a lot of times. And what happens is, coming into this dimension, it's a very thick place. It's a very heavy place. It's a very... it's a tough place for someone who's coming from a heaven... vibration coming into this world. It's not an easy place. And they may get in here and go, gosh, the vibration is too much, or my parents' vibration is too much, or things just aren't like I thought they were going to be. I need to go back, work on my chart, work on my plan, and then I'm going to come back. So I've seen that happen.
All right, well, we're going to take our first break of the second hour here. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest Bobby Sullivan. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts. Set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century, Irish lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advance copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Just might open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
Now, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Mr. Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer, sitting across the board from me and joining us live in the studio this evening, we have Bobby Sullivan. If you want more information from Bobby or you'd like to contact him, you can reach him at his website at bobbyosullivan.com. Again, that's bobbyosullivan.com. And this evening we're talking about ghosts and spirits right now and different aspects of the paranormal that he's dealt with. And, you know, I was curious, Bobby, with the last segment we were just kind of talking about all the different... you know, type of attachments and walk-ins and things and the spirits that you've encountered. Have you ever encountered the ghost or spirit of an alien?
I have, yeah. I've actually had a lot of alien experiences. I don't even know where to start with that.
Well, let's leave out the anal probing.
Yeah.
Let's just go straight to...
bad.
Exactly. What did you... I mean, have you seen the spirits of dead aliens?
Not of dead aliens, but the way that I see this happening is that aliens, actually, a lot of them are from other dimensions, okay? And they vibrate at a much higher rate than we do. at least a lot of different aliens that I've dealt with. So typically they have the ability to come in here and cloak themselves. I was sitting in a class one night, and I mean, this was kind of a very interesting thing, and I believe that all of us have spirit guides, people that are that beings that are actually part of our path that are here to guide us. And I actually had a guide that was an alien being, and I was sitting in class. There was about 30 people in there, and somebody said, "Oh my gosh, did you see that?" And right behind me was a large, as I turned around, was a large, like about a 12-foot figure that was blue. And it zoomed across the room and disappeared. And then all of a sudden, the bathroom door shut right.
Wow, even aliens get diarrhea.
Yeah. he had to run for the border.
gotta go right now.
But the door slammed.
Now, do you know what kind of, was this any particular type of alien race?
I believe it was a Pleiadian alien, which is a group of beings from the star system, the Pleiades, also okay. known as the Seven Sisters.
Now, the body, can you explain? And the only reason I ask this is we had a guest on in the past who was at a retreat very similar to what you were just mentioning and had an experience with a very similar type spirit. And I'm just curious, can you explain a little bit more? Because he saw a blue alien-like creature that appeared mm-hmm. to him as well. What more can you tell us about the spirit or the alien itself?
Well, actually, it was an experience that we had that this group, it was actually kind of a group consciousness that came down, and they actually started channeling to us, and they were telling us that they were actually here to help assist the planet go through a change, and they identified themselves as part of the Ra collective or the Ra group, Ra. And that they had a large mothership parked right above Minnesota at the time, and they were working on some of the different things that had to do with the geography, some of the land changes that were happening there, and they were just making a connection with us.
But can you describe to me any more about the actual alien that you saw? You said it was about 12 feet tall. Was it a physical body? Was it
no, ethereal body? It was an ethereal body. It was a light body. I believe that their vibration is so light. They said that they came from what is called the sixth dimension.
Much like Tim's hiccup a second ago.
That was sixth dimensional.
Yes. Yeah.
And that it, you know, they are light beings. They also represented kind of the voice.
What about the head? Can you tell me anything about the head of the creature?
It was, the head was actually pretty smooth. It was kind of like Tim's head, actually.
Which one?
Oh, no. I'm asking
was,
is,
the eyes
is it
were,
human?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, explain
human.
Where the eyes were.
The eyes were actually...
Tim.
The eyes were actually kind of on the sides, and they went back.
And when it did it turn to look at you at all?
Oh yeah. How did it
do anything weird with its head when it looked at you?
It was behind me, so I didn't really see that okay. part of it. But
the only reason I ask is we had Bill Murphy on our show, who's out of California, and he was part of a retreat, and they were doing a chanting and a meditation, and the group experienced this large blue creature that was a mantis head, he called it. It was the head with the eyes on the side, and it kind of tilted to look at him and then took off out of the room, but it was a light body. It was an ethereal mm-hmm. body on this, almost like light tentacles. And I was just wondering, I mean, that almost sounds exactly like what Bill experienced. So that's it's uncanny, you know, coming from Tootle, and that was out in Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, they're all over the place.
Really?
I had a out-of-body experience one night where I was kind of taken to another dimension, and they asked me to look up, and I looked up in the sky, and I could see it almost looked like a freeway. It was so crowded of different ships and things that were moving
really?
Back and forth. Yeah. And they said that's the traffic, that they're just cloaked right now.
As you're going through the dimensions, if you find the one where fat bald guys are hot, can you let Tim and I know that? Because we want to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the French maid outfit. I haven't quite gotten out of that one.
Just for you, Bobby, I'm going to shave my back, buddy.
Oh, God. Stop it. Now, dealing, and you know, I think it's funny because a lot of times we'll start to lose people when we go from ghosts into alien experience, which is funny to me because we're into the paranormal. We'll believe that the ghost of Grandpa can come back to us and speak, but we don't believe that in this vast universe that there's an alien, you know,
Grandpa Al Lewis.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We don't believe that there's an alien race that's actually interacting with us here on Earth. It's just funny how people kind of close off to different aspects of the paranormal.
It's a little tough one to talk about. I mean, ghosts, people are starting to really accept that, but you get into the alien thing. And
you know what I'm interested in? I'd love to know if these aliens seem to be able to transcend and be in that cloaked area of our vision like ghosts mm-hmm. are. Are they aware of ghosts, and are ghosts aware of them?
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know if ghosts are aware of them, but they because they're in such a higher vibration that they have the ability to pick that stuff up. But typically to spirits and higher vibrational beings, ghosts are kind of riffraff. I think that's how I've heard them explain that.
Let me ask you this. With spirits, I heard a really great theory from a friend of ours, Matt, 2 years ago at UNIFCON. And his theory on ghosts is one that makes the most sense to me. It's like, well, we'll use this bottle of Pepsi that I have in front of me. You peel the label off, right? You die. Part of you stays back. The other part of you transcends to wherever your next journey is. So the label's left laying on the counter. That's the gunk. That's your junk. That's your petty. That's your jealousy. That's your anger. That's your mm-hmm. your nastiness. So that's what's left out here on, yep. on our planet. It makes sense because so many hauntings that we deal with are very rudimentary, almost animalistic. You know, it's banging, loud noises, get off of my property, get away. You know, almost those basic animal tendencies of protecting your property, your people, your, you know, and they tend to cling to one person in a family like an animal does, mm-hmm. right? Like a pet will always seem to, you know, gravitate to one person in the family, and a spirit seems to do that as well. Do you believe that there is some truth to that, that the good goes where it needs to go and the crap stays behind? Because I got to guess in heaven or the next dimension, all that crap isn't needed.
Yeah, actually, I was doing a seminar up in Park Rapids today, and I talked about that exact idea. I used kind of the metaphor of life being kind of like the Baja 1000 and your body being, or your soul and body being that truck that you're racing with. You're done with the race. You go into the light or the car wash.
Right.
You cross over and you leave all the dirt and stuff behind here. Your soul crosses over to the other side. Your soul then has a perspective of all of its lives, of what its mission is, what it's doing. Ghosts don't make that cross. They're here in that ethereal plane, and they're basically like a person without the skin bag. You know what I mean? They okay. have they still have the emotions. They still have the jealousy and the rage and all that stuff until they make that crossover.
But so you don't buy into the fact that maybe what's left behind is just the junk that was separated from the elevated part of us that moves on to the next vibrational level? Because the one thing that I find intriguing with that theory is the fact, think of the places that are haunted, prisons, insane asylums, hospitals. You would think that if you died, Bobby, you're put on death row. And you're murdered, you know, not murdered, but you're put to death at the prison. The prison is going to be the last place that your soul wants to hang out. You know, you would think, you know, down in Jamaica on the topless beaches would be the place your soul would want to go, you know, jones around. But like a pack animal, you die, the crap stays behind, and there's all the rest of the crap souls that are left over. They all kind of pack together and hang out because there's comfort in numbers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would make sense to me of why then they would stay in places that we would think as humans we would get the hell away from.
It's definitely an interesting idea. My belief system has been that what happens is typically when that soul leaves the body, because the universe has the law of free will or free choice,
right.
That soul has the choice to go to the other side or not. Typically, in my experience, it's usually attachment or fear that keeps those ghosts earthbound. Okay, they're either afraid of someone on the other side that they're going to have to face. A lot of times they've been abused and they don't want to face their abuser, or they feel like they're going to go to the other side and they're going to get sent to hell. Or they're bored and they are partiers and they want to stay here and hoop it up. And they think the other side's going to be playing harps and, you know, and whatever. What happens when they stay on this side is they look for the energy that is like to what they were when they were on this side. Okay. So if they were a drug addict or a criminal or of that element, they're going to attach to people that are like that. They're looking for lower vibrational beings that they can attach to.
Is this, in effect, a form of possession then?
It can be, or... it's being attracted to like energy. I mean, that law of affinity is one of the other laws of the universe, that like energy attracts like energy.
Right, but now if I'm a drug addict in this life, and maybe I'm trying to kick it, but you're the spirit of another drug addict, and you're kind of siphoning off me, in a sense, you're almost possessing because you're keeping me on that Jones, right? You're keeping me, here, take, you know, get the monkey, you need another shot of this, or, you know, another snort. Keep it going. So isn't that, in a sense, a form of possession, because they're helping to facilitate you to continue to do things that you may have not done on your own?
Absolutely. And that's why ghosts hang out in bars a lot. You will see a lot of ghosts in bars.
Well, I heard that's because Tuesday night's half off night for spirits.
Double.
Yes. There we go.
Double bubble.
That's right. When you run into these spirits now, Bob, you know, a lot of people will, you know, start sprinkling their holy water, and maybe they cleanse their house. Does that just kick the spirit over to the neighbors now, and he's pissed off because he can't get back into your place, so he'll just go, you know, suck off the life of somebody else? Or is it more imperative to stand up to this ghost and say, Bobby, now it's time to move on, go to the light?
That's a really good question. Burning sage or sprinkling holy water, in my experience, doesn't do squat. It really doesn't. I've had ghosts ask me why I'm burning pot. You know what I mean? They don't really care about that. The way
do
that
they ask for a hit?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We'll fill the bong and give one.
Puff, no, puff, pass. Puff, pass.
To the left-hand side, right?
There you go.
What this is one of the things that I learned in my work with Echo and her brother Michael is that you have to stand up to the ghost. When I do a ghost busting, I corner the ghost, and it turns into usually about an hour dialogue, and you have to break the ghost down. Typically, the tougher ones, you will have to really break down, and you take a stand, and you say, I'm not going anywhere until you are. And a lot of times we'll get help from our guides that will give us things that will help break them down.
But they're ghosts, Bobby. Can't they say screw you and phase through the wall and go back into a different room?
Yep, but and I only work when people ask me to help clear their space.
Okay.
So they get a choice to move on or
you'll play ABBA music?
I will be there until they leave. Okay. You know what I mean? And I've been pretty successful in crossing them over. I mean, I don't know if I've
so
been
is it safe to say you're really annoying to ghosts? Is
that that's how that's
come
how,
on, Tim. We're not hanging out here anymore. This guy's crazy.
That's how I roll here in the 55401.
I was thinking we should make some T-shirts up that say that's how I vibrate.
Oh,
what do you think, huh?
I've actually got some like that.
Oh, jeez,
you're hit with the ladies, aren't you, Bobby?
So that's the way it works. I mean, you stand there. It was always funny to see Echo because she was one of the nicest people in the world, but she just turned into the royal bitch when she had to move a ghost. And that's where I learned how to do that. And you stand there with no fear, and typically the ghosts will, in a lot of the troublemakers, I mean, I've had ghosts that are messing with people, that are pushing people, that are peeping, you know, peeping on women in the showers, doing all that kind of stuff. And those are the ones that usually are the biggest babies. You know, once you get to that point and find out what they're afraid of, because it's fear that keeps them trapped. Once you get to that point, then they're history. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Then you know you got them. A lot of times we'll get information from guides and say, ask about Ruffles, the dog. And, you know, you say, your dog Ruffles, what about him? And all of a sudden they go from this big tough ghost into like a big sobbing baby. And you say, you know, Ruffles is on the other side, he's waiting for you, and look into the light and see grandma. You know what I mean? There's things like that that you can do that actually softens that energy. And if we go into a place where there's more than one ghost, you know, it's kind of like a street fight. You pick on the toughest one right away. You have him gather up the rest of the group, and then you cross them over. It's an amazing thing to see psychically the ghost crossing. I mean, you can feel the energy in the room change completely once you've moved a ghost out of a space.
Very cool. We're going to take our last break of the evening. We'll come back and talk to you a little bit more, Bobby. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town with our guest, Bobby Sullivan. For more information, please check out his website at www.bobbysullivan.com.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. Do you hear loud moans and banging on your walls? Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
Oh, no more Yankee, my winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town. I am your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me again, Mr. Tim Dennis. For all of you that are fans of the show, make sure that tomorrow you go to aeinsider.com. I got a chance to go to New York last week and do an interview with the cast of Paranormal State on A&E, and they're going to have the content put up on their website tomorrow at aeinsider.com. You can sign up. It's fun. It's free. You get some great information on all of the shows on A&E, background information, things that are not available to the regular viewer, and you also get to see the question and answer that we did there. So I hope that you'll join us and give them some feedback. Let them know what you thought about the interview. Again, you can check that out at www.aeinsider.com. And then remember, tomorrow night is brand new episodes of the hit new show on A&E, Paranormal State. And that starts promptly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time on A&E. Check your local listings for TV programming and schedules. Now we're going to get back into the show where our guest is Bobby Sullivan. And Bobby, I want to ask you something about going in and doing ghost hunting. Now, you talked earlier about vibrational levels and places you're in. Can you get to a point where you can lift or elevate your vibrational level so much that you repel ghosts so that they can't muck with you, they can't screw in your world? And if so, how can we get to that level so that we can still investigate them, check them, but we're safe?
Well, what I would suggest to anyone who's going into a situation where they're dealing with ghosts is that they create some sort of protection around them. Ghosts have the ability to what I call slime you. They can typically, when we walk into a situation and a ghost knows that we're coming for them or are going to make a connection, they throw as much energy at the door as they can, and that's what you feel when you walk in the door.
That thick, heavy presence.
That thick, heavy presence.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do is create that energy to repel. To repel you.
Okay.
And they don't want you coming in to that, at least a lot of times they don't want you coming into that space to remove them.
Now, the spirits that you've come into contact with, especially the ones that everybody thinks are malevolent or evil spirits, when they give you a shove, does that necessarily mean they were trying to kill you or push you down a flight of stairs? Or is that, hey, I've got this energy and you're not noticing me, and they give you a shove to get your attention?
Exactly right. What they want to do is show off how much power and energy that they can muster. And it varies between ghosts. Really, what I believe our whole process is in evolution of our souls is that we're learning how to create and manifest and use energy.
Mm-hmm.
And some ghosts get real good at it. The more time that they spend in that ghost form, typically the better they get.
So again, I'm thinking of that stupid scene in the movie Ghost, which drives me crazy, where Patrick Swayze runs into that creepy Vincent Schiavelli, the actor ghost in the subway. And Patrick Swayze's just kind of floundering, doesn't know what to do, and Vincent Schiavelli's been down there and so angry for so long, he knows how to knock over garbage mm-hmm. cans and do everything, and he's trying to teach Patrick Swayze had to knock over a can. So is it that kind of level as they go, they start to progress and they learn how to do this more? how many times do you actually run into what is really a malevolent spirit who's pissed off and trying to hurt you, as opposed to just a spirit who's trying to get your attention and let you know that they're there?
Well, surprisingly, a lot, because I don't usually get called unless a ghost is messing with people. So,
but again, when you get there, is it that they're really screwing with them to try to hurt them, or are they doing it to try to, look at me, damn it, I'm right here, notice me, and that's
both.
What they're doing.
Okay. They do both things. Ghosts love to mess with people. Ghosts love to create fear. A lot of times that's why ghosts will mess with teenage girls or teenage boys, you know, because they love that fear energy. A lot of ghosts want to be noticed. They want you to know that they're there. Some ghosts are very territorial. They want their space, and they want you to know that they control that space. It just really depends. Depends on what you're dealing with.
Well, let's tackle two quick topics here. We're going to do a little fun one before. And then before you leave, just so you start thinking about this, I want to know one of your creepiest ghost stories that you've had happen to you before we wrap up. So, Tim, when we have about 3 minutes left, why don't you throw it to us so we know? And then, Bobby, if you can come up with tell us one of the more terrifying stories you've had to deal with. But right now, let's talk. You mentioned something during the break that intrigued us.
Ghost sex.
Yes.
This is
Do you have to still buy him a drink?
This is something that I've encountered in my work,
where
there are people that are, there's a lot of people out there that have relationships with their ghosts, and there's hotel owners that have ghosts that they don't want to get rid of because people are coming to their hotel because they're attracted to the ghosts. There's people that have...
You mean attracted to the ghost, just I want to come hunt them? Attracted like,
exactly.
Hey, that chick ghost in room 407.
Well, I have seen that as well. Not in hotel owners, but there are people that have relationships with ghosts. And there is the possibility of, it's not actual sex, but there's communing of energy going on.
You know, there was an article, Lucy Liu, the actress from the Charlie's Angels movies, and Ellie McBeal, and she's on a new series coming up here, claims to have had sexual intercourse with a spirit, and she said it was an amazing deal and this, that, and the other. I mean, so here's a mainstream actress who claims that she actually had sex with a ghost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen it numerous times. There was a case, I believe it was one of Echo's clients that... they showed up, and this guy was having a real problem because any woman that he brought home was getting, like, kicked out of bed by some spirit form. And it turned out that this guy actually was having a relationship with a woman ghost, and anytime he would bring home a real human being, this ghost would get mad and terrorize her.
Well, what a dummy. If he's already got some at home, why isn't he taking the girls out to a hotel?
it does happen. And I've had calls for people that were being terrorized by people, by ghosts in that way as well. Nothing that I ever investigated, but I have talked to a few different people that have gone through that. So ghost sex is a possibility.
Dear penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me.
Exactly. Hey, is that ectoplasm on your pants? That's frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Now, with this, I mean, and we've heard of things like succubus and incubus, which are spirits that rape and have sex with human forms. Is that what you're talking about? Or is it just, you said that like likes like. So if this spirit was, kind of a slut in life, is she still a slut in the ethereal realm? So she's still looking to get, and I don't mean that nasty, but I mean that's a spade is a spade, right?
Well, I don't know if it's that way, but spirits, typically ghost spirits, will attach to things, okay? So a lot of times
right, but Bobby, if you have a high sex drive as a man, and she was, sex was very important to her, could that be the attachment?
Absolutely, because that sexual drive is energy, okay?
Right?
And it's just like an addiction. It follows that same energetic pattern. So yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a pretty creepy thing, though. I mean, to think about the idea of just laying there and have someone come up and start
Hey, what's creepy to you, Bobby? Sounds like a little slice of heaven to the Dave. That's all I got to say.
It was a lonely Sunday night.
Now, if only I could get him to make me a sandwich when they were done, that'd be perfect. And can you change the channel to the football game on your way out? Thank you, Casper. That's just bizarre.
Casper?
Well, you know, it's a ghost. Now you're going to suddenly worry about whether it's a guy ghost or girl ghost, Tim?
Jeez.
Why must you always draw a line? What do you consider in the field of the paranormal with crossing ghosts over? If you encounter a ghost, you know it's there. Is it your duty to cross that spirit over, or only if the homeowner or people that are dealing with it want it out?
Good question. This came up today in the workshop that I did. I have kind of drawn an ethical line. I will only cross a ghost over if I'm asked to do that.
What if it's a child?
If it's a child to
ghost,
the ghost.
If it's a child ghost. Will you, you know, if I say, you know, I think the ghost of my son is living here and, you know, is confused and da da da, and I'm not sure I want it to cross over. Mm-hmm. Do you feel ethically, Dave, this is a child. Let's let it move to the next level. Part of your love is what's holding it here, you know, and it's great to love your child that much, but it needs to go to the next level so that it can, you know, do.
Yeah,
do you try to talk to people into letting the spirits go?
I definitely would, yeah.
Okay.
Especially in that case. If it's in your space and you actually control that space, it's really your choice.
Okay.
And that's the first place I start with a ghost, is that this is their space and they need you to go.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left in the show. We like to leave with kind of a creep story for people. What's one of the weirdest or most, you know, bizarre, frightening cases that you've ever worked on?
The case that comes to mind happened 2006 out in the country, trailer home. It was a friend of my partner's who called. They didn't believe in ghosts or anything. They thought we were crazy people, and until they had, this is usually how it works, until they had their son being terrorized.
What is it, like Jason and Grant say, a skeptic is only somebody who hasn't had their own experience yet, right?
Exactly. They had a two-and-a-half-year-old boy who started talking about a woman named Tina. And Tina showed up all the time at daycare. Anytime he would eat dinner, he would say, no, Tina doesn't want that. You know, so Tina, this Tina figure, they thought it was his imaginary friend, kept showing up. Well, they woke up at 2 in the morning, and the little boy was out in the middle of the highway. And they said, what are you, you know, what's going on? Luckily, the mom heard something out there and woke up, ran out there and grabbed him. And the boy kept going outside in the middle of the night. So they put locks on the door up high where he couldn't get out. And he kept saying, Tina made me go out there. And so that's when they called us. And we came in and found out that this little boy was talking to a ghost named Tina. As it turned out, Tina was also there with another gentleman. And the two of them had been killed in a car accident nearby. The woman lost her two-year-old son in the accident and was actually trying to lure the boy to be killed so that she could have a boy in ghost form to take care of. We did some research and found out, we traced the accident and found out the woman, Tina, and her boyfriend, Kevin, who was the ghost, actually, there was a car accident, and they were killed nearby about 5 years earlier. So it took a lot of work. We had to go back two or three times to actually get them to cross over. They were pretty tied into the space and into the boy. And the boy, still to this day, doesn't even remember any of it.
Well, we've got just about a minute left here, Bobby. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you find most spirits haunt the place they died, or do they haunt the places where they live?
It can happen all over the place. They're either attached to real estate, you know, like a farmer who homesteaded a place. They can be attached to an object that moves around. They can be attached to people who move around. So it really, there are no boundaries that way. And it doesn't matter if it's a 100-year-old place or a 2-year-old place.
All right. Well, Bobby, thanks a lot for spending your last 2 hours with us, and we thank all of you for tuning into the show. And again, if you have questions or would like more information about Bobby and his work in the psychic realm and working with auras, check him out at BobbyO'Sullivan.com. That's BobbyO'Sullivan.com. And again, I would request for all of you listening to the show live tonight and listening into the archives,
On Monday, the 14th, you're going to want to check out aeinsider.com, and you can see the Dave doing an interview with the cast of Paranormal State on A&E. We're going to have it up there. It's free to join. Please check it out, and I guess it'll be a part of their website going forward, but you can also check that out and see some video diaries and back information on all of the different paranormal or on all the different shows on A&E as well, and get some insight on your favorite television programs. Join us here next week. We're going to be back live in studio with Chris Fleming from TV's Dead Famous and Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence. We're going to be talking about the evidence that we procured at the Haunted Palmer House in Sauk Center, Minnesota, in our investigation next week. We're going to also talk about the dependency of psychics and technology in the paranormal field. Are we relying on either one too much? Thanks a lot for tuning in. Remember to give us a listen. Also, check us out at our website, darknessradio.com. And check out all of our upcoming paranormal retreats at darknessevents.com. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.